So my six-year-old son, Will, has been riding his bike around the block for the first time by himself. He feels confident, independent, and he wants whoever's around to watch because he is proud. And as his father, I'm called to watch over him, to protect him, to care for him like a shepherd does with his sheep. So when he goes around the block and I lose sight of him for about 4 minutes, I feel my weakness acutely. That's a long 4 minutes as I'm standing on the sidewalk, waiting since I can't see him. I can't see if he has a wreck and is injured. I can't see if he takes a wrong turn and gets lost. Now, obviously, if he doesn't come back in 5 or 6 minutes, I would go searching for him. And some of you are thinking, chill out, let him live a little bit, stop being helicopter parent. And then some of you are thinking, we need to call Child Protective Services. And those of you know me well will probably want to call Child Protective Services more than the helicopter. But the point is that God never loses sight of his sheep. He never feels the weakness that I feel for 5 minutes or for even 1 second. Soak that in. It's incredible. He watches over each of his sheep perfectly and fully. He is the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. So we get a picture of the good shepherd's work now in Ezekiel 34:16. So turn there and I'll read it. It says, I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them justice. So let's take a brief look at the context, and then we're going to look at what the passage says about God, what it says about us as sheep, or the sheep, and then we'll have some response application. So what we learn about God is point one. What we learn about the sheep is point two. And our application response is how we'll close out our time. So context quickly. Ezekiel is one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. Israel is in exile in Babylon. The date is around 593 BC. The book is arranged into two halves. Chapter 1 through 24 speak of God's judgment on the Israelites. Chapter 25 through 48 contain more judgment, the fall of Jerusalem, but ends with the hope of restoration. Ezekiel spoke to a community forced from their homes, refugees, lost, and broken. Now, they were not innocent. They were not innocent. These people had broken faith with their God. The primary purpose of Ezekiel's message was to restore God's glory in the view of the watching nations. So now we come to chapter 34, and we see that the leaders, the kings, the priests of Israel, the Israelites, are referred to as shepherds. And they have treated the sheep, or God's people, extremely poorly. They have gained off the backs of the people. They have taken advantage of the weak, not cared for those that are suffering, but have only cared for themselves. They are supposed to be laying down their lives for the sheep, but instead, they are focused on themselves, selfish and prideful. They are concerned about, number one, their own gain. So God's judgment comes in verse 10. He says, I am against these so-called shepherds. And God steps in. He does something incredible. God himself promises to become their very own shepherd. So this brings us to point number one. What do we learn about God in this passage? We learn that God acts as judge over the selfish shepherds and restorer of the scattered sheep. Two things happen in a single work of God. When he becomes the people's shepherd, we learn that God acts as judge over the selfish shepherds and restorer of the scattered sheep. We can see these same two works when Christ saves us. We go from enemy to friend. We, the helpless, defenseless sheep against Satan's schemes go from prey to not being prey, helpless to victor, unable to be overcome by the world because of what the good shepherd has accomplished. So why did God need to become the shepherd? Well, first and foremost, earthly shepherds are humans. They need shepherding too. I, as one of your pastors, need shepherded. And I guarantee you all the other ones would say the same thing. We feel our weakness. And so similarly to the earthly priest as described in Hebrews chapter 5 as being beset with weakness, we feel our weakness. So they can't ultimately keep watch over the sheep forever. We are prone to wander from God and not just ride our bikes around the block. We go our own way, right? As described in Isaiah 53. Ignoring the good instruction he has given us in his word, sinning against the one who gave his life for us. Yet, in his amazing grace, it says he goes after us. Because God himself is willing to become our shepherd, we can clearly see his grace and mercy for us. He doesn't just send more shepherds or leaders. He doesn't just leave his sheep to be lost. What does he do? He takes over, becomes the shepherd that cares for us. He keeps us safe. He provides for us, and ultimately, he saves us. So we learn something else about God in this chapter. We learn how God becomes our shepherd. In verse 15 of 34, chapter 34, he says, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. There's the promise right there for him to become our shepherd. But if you look further down in verse 23, he says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. Okay, so what's going on here? God just said he was going to step in and be our shepherd, and now he's promising to put a long-deceased King David over them as shepherd. How could this be, right? David's been dead for about 400 years. And this is incredible because this is referencing the Davidic covenant that is an eternal king, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would come from David's line. A prophecy that God himself would come in human form, yet not give up any of his deity. I also think it's interesting that David was a shepherd as a young boy, and a good one at that. This gave him wonderful training and the ability to lead Israelites. And maybe that's why God chose him. Another aspect of God as shepherd that we see in this passage is that he will exact judgment. He says, I will feed them justice. We can see that shepherds in Ezekiel's day were not fair and just, right? But there also seems to be some injustice among the sheep in regards to how they're treating one another. When it differentiates between the weak, the fat, the strong sheep, there seems to be spiritual wealth discrepancy as well as possibly physical discrepancy. When we see these discrepancies in our own body, do we move toward the need? I see you all doing this often, and it's greatly encouraged in how you treat one another and how you meet needs among our body. But let me encourage you, don't stop doing that. Continue in that work. Matthew 25, 31 through 40 gives us more specific instruction on how we should treat each other. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So in matters of how we treat one another, it matters how we treat one another, how we treat one another, because the good shepherd is going to bring justice in the end. But our motivation is not a reward for our good works, right? But those with saving relationship with the Father and Son have compassion on others because they've been given a new heart in obeying God's word. So this moves us to the next point. What about the sheep? What do we learn about the sheep or God's people in this passage? Well, inadvertently, we learn a lot. First, the sheep need a shepherd, right? The sheep need a shepherd. If you leave sheep alone, it's really problematic. They will die, right? They will die. We also learn that they are scattered and lost. We learn that they're hurt and they're weak. And we also learn that some are fat and strong. So ultimately, though, their future is uncertain without God becoming their shepherd. They will surely die. They are lost, and the only way to be brought back or have any chance of being saved is by this good shepherd, as Jesus is called in John 10. We sheep need divine intervention, a supernatural work of God. He has provided it. He has done the very thing he said he would do. God kept his promise. How did he keep his promise? He sent Jesus to be our shepherd. Jesus came to earth, born of a virgin, by the Holy Spirit, as the only divine human to ever walk the earth. 100% man, 100% God. Just as described in Ezekiel 34. He lived a totally sin-free life, perfect life, obeyed God's word and commands perfectly. Yet he went and died. Like a sheep being led to the slaughter, he did not even open his mouth. He became sin for his sheep. He was wrongly murdered, but did not protest, but willfully submitted to the Father and was crucified on the cross and died. He is the good shepherd. Not like those earthly shepherds that we talk about, that we look at in Ezekiel 34. No, he laid down his life, his very life, for the sheep, dying so we wouldn't have to die. After he died, Jesus did what only God could do, right? He rose from the dead. If any person, any sheep, would humble themselves, would recognize themselves as lost, as in sinful, with no hope, and turn, repent, and trust in this shepherd, then the promise here in Ezekiel 34:16 can be fully realized. He will bring you back from being lost. He will give you a home. He will bind you up if you're injured. And he will strengthen you. And if you're here and you haven't trusted in Christ, and as your shepherd, please consider trusting him tonight. You've heard the gospel many times already tonight in prayer and Trey's testimony. Please consider listening to the words of Christ even now. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. It's cool to see in Ezekiel 2, in chapter 18, 32. It's so similar to Matthew 18, 14, verse 14 that Stephen preached on this morning. He says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. There it is, that repentance. Repent, believe, and live forever. So what amazing news. How amazing is God's grace for him to do this for us? Jesus is the good shepherd. Now, we sheep have to recognize that we are lost if we want to become found, that we have need, that we are injured and weak. And it's clear, he or she who knows Jesus will never lack. If we know Jesus, we will never lack. Ezekiel 34 and Matthew 18 give us analogies about sheep and children. And I think they're to show us that those are dependent creatures for us to recognize how desperately we need Jesus. and we need God and salvation. A child innately understands that they need the care of a parent to survive, to live. What does a child do when it's hungry? They don't go to a stranger for food, although that'd be nice sometimes. They immediately come to the one that cares for them, the one that feeds them. They know where to go to get food, to get care. At my house, they go to Lee. But they go to a parent, right? And we are weak like a child. And we need to stay close to the Father to survive. Will you humble yourself even now and recognize your need for the one that knows you best? When we are weak, we are made strong in Christ. Whoever loses their life for the sake of Christ gains it. When you feel your weakness, cry out for help to the Good Shepherd. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, after his resurrection, he told the disciples, "It is better that I go and the Helper come." The Helper is the Holy Spirit, right? And he's called the Helper because we need help. We are weak. So if you want to become strong, then lean heavy on Christ. We don't overcome our trials and pains in our own strength, but having faith in the one that is strong. Recognize you are but a weak sheep, a helpless child with no hope. Accept the hope that is found in Christ alone. This humility is what Matthew 18 speaks of. Trust Christ, and he will give you strength to weather whatever trial you're facing. There's another type of sheep mentioned in this text, though. These sheep are the fat and strong. Now, this strength is not a good strength. Because what happens to them? They get destroyed, right? It says they get destroyed. The point is, they trusted in their own strength. They were prideful. They didn't care about the sheep also that were around them were struggling. It says they muddied the clean water. They roughed up the weaker sheep. This is all a great warning to us. And welcome to America and welcome to humanity and all its lostness, right? American culture promotes, I got this. I can do this on my own. I have money. Hey, just think positive. Wash your face. Sorry, I had to. Stay strong. I have safety in my house. I have my health. I have blah, 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 right? It's a house of cards on a sandy foundation. So let's resolve as a church to not trust in what we can see. The number of horses and chariots we have, to quote David in Psalm 20. But let's trust in the name of the Lord. Are you aware of your weakness? Do you try to do life in your own strength? Place your life in the care of the Good Shepherd. What about your care for your fellow sheep here at UBC? Are you investing in their spiritual and physical well-being? It takes sacrifices, right, to do that. But we have the perfect model in the Good Shepherd. Let's pray.